Well, hi there and welcome back. My name is Stephanie Safarian and you're listening to episode 521 of Sustainable Minimalists. This is a listener-supported show about intentional and eco-friendly minimalist living. And on today's show, we are getting spring cleaning. Yes, we are. Spring cleaning is a tradition that symbolizes a fresh start and renewal. Depending on where you live in the world, perhaps the weather is getting warmer. I know here in New England, I was able to open the windows for the first time this weekend, and holy moly, was it life-changing. But when it comes to spring cleaning, perhaps nobody taught you how to do it. Perhaps you mimic what you saw your parents and grandparents do. That's what I do. Frankly, nobody ever taught me how to do it. And some years, I'll be honest, I consider the spring cleaning task so gigantic, so daunting, such a huge job, I don't even do it. So the problem with either A, doing what your parents did, or B, not doing it at all, is both tactics do not represent the best, most cutting edge, most efficient, safest ways to care for our homes and care for our belongings. And let's be real, caring for our home and caring for our stuff, those are sustainable minimalist behaviors, aren't they? We are not in the habit here of going out and buying new stuff because we didn't take care of what we already owned. And so my goal today is to get you and me, frankly, excited to spring clean our homes this spring. Not only for the clean house. I mean, clean houses are great, well-maintained stuff. That's great too. But not only for those reasons, but also for your own wellness. Evolutionarily, we human beings tend to experience renewed vigor when the weather turns warmer, don't we? The shorter and darker days of winter means that our bodies are producing more melatonin. And melatonin is that hormone that tends to make us sleepy. So we're sleepier in winter. But as we move towards spring, the days do begin to lengthen. We produce less melatonin. And as a result, we're receiving a boost of energy from less melatonin, but also from the sun. So if you're thinking to yourself, well, why on earth is Stephanie talking about spring cleaning when there are way more important issues to discuss, especially here in the United States at this moment? First of all, know that I asked myself that question when I was creating this episode. Like, is this the best? This is a free episode, right? Like, this is for my free listeners. Is this the best use of my one free episode to all of you today? Shouldn't I be talking about something perhaps bigger? Well, ultimately, the reason I wanted to cover spring cleaning just in time for the spring equinox is that getting active and, in this case, getting cleaning is a great way to take back some personal agency, get some stress out, dare I say. I know that when I'm feeling particularly restless, there's nothing better in this world than blasting some angry music really darn loud and getting to work, getting down and dirty in my home. So what better time to get active, take back some agency, get let out some stress than right now by spring cleaning? And now I did mention, yes, this is a free episode for March. I'm putting out one free episode a month. Hello, I missed you all. But please know that if you missed me, the podcast is still growing strong every week with ad-free and subscriber-only episodes. Just last week, we covered combating toxic productivity in our capitalist society. The week before that, we covered how to handle big emotions as parents during a climate crisis. So yes, the podcast is still going strong. You can become a subscriber, get all the episodes every week, join book club, get my newsletter, like do all the things by either subscribing on Substack or Apple Podcasts. The links are to do that in the show notes. And I had a bunch of listeners reach out and say they didn't want to subscribe because they have so many subscriptions and they can't manage the ones they have, but they did want to leave a tip. So there's a tip jar in this week's show notes as well that will not get you subscriber-only perks, but it's a way to say, I see you, Stephanie, and thank you for all your work. Now, what are we doing today? We're going to talk about the origins of spring cleaning because I think they're pretty darn fascinating. Then we're going to go into five spring cleaning myths, So again, if you learned how to spring clean by watching others do it, let's clear up some of those myths. And then in part three of today's show, I have two specific places in your home I want you to focus on today, plus some extra credit for the overachievers. So let's get into the origins of spring cleaning. Why should you do it? If you don't know, now you know. Spring cleaning is not this new phenomenon. Spring cleaning has been around for thousands of years. It is rooted in cultural traditions, religious traditions, cleaning out the old and getting ready for what's new has been around for thousands and thousands of years. In Judeo-Christian traditions, spring cleaning dates back to the liberation of Israelites from Egypt, aka Passover, which is coming up very soon. And to prepare for Passover, the Torah commands that not a crumb of leaven is left in the house. So get rid of the crumbs of leaven, get rid of the yeast used to make bread rise. Yep, that means a spring cleaning, a thorough cleaning of the entire home. In Buddhist purification rituals, they have some spring cleaning there as well. In Thailand, there's the Songkran festival held in April, and Thai people pour water over each other to wash away bad thoughts and bad behaviors. They also deeply clean their homes and their temples to purify these spaces. In Persian culture, spring cleaning traces back 3,000 years to a spring tradition called Khane Tekani, which translates roughly into shaking the house. How cool. It was believed that sweeping up the dust and removing clutter from the home will prevent ill fortune in the coming year. And more recently, so I'm talking 1800s now, the warmer weather of early spring enabled people to, again, open the doors, open the windows, air out the home. Back then, our homes were heated with either fireplaces or coal stoves. So both are quite messy. And so spring cleaning was a way to thoroughly clean out all of that before the insects come, right? And then even more recent than that, I'm talking 20th century now, with the widespread adoption of Louis Pasteur's germ theory, which, by the way, if you don't remember, germ theory showed that invisible germs are the cause of infection and scary diseases like tuberculosis, like cholera, like anthrax. With the arrival of germ theory on the scene in science, spring cleaning took on a new dimension, right? We don't just have to clean out the coal, the dust, the ashes from the fireplace. We also have to kill what's invisible, what could be harming our health that we don't even see. And so let's move on to those five cleaning myths that perhaps you, like me, learned from your elders. The first one is, and it's a myth, using newspapers to clean your glass surfaces and windows. This one is from my mother-in-law, if you're listening. She gets a newspaper every day still, and she has a gigantic stack of them always on hand, and she uses them to clean her windows and glass surfaces. And that used to be a really smart choice. These newspapers used to be very absorbent. They were lint-free, and so you might think that, you know, they're all smudgy and they're going to get your windows all dirty and black from the printing. But it used to be that these lint-free newspapers were the perfect absorbent cloth, reuse cloth, I should say, to clean windows and glass. However, that is no longer true. And the reason is that modern newspapers are printed with certain inks that can and do result in streaking and staining of your windows. So no more, unfortunately, with the newspapers. But are you getting newspapers anymore? There are very few people who actually are, my mother-in-law being one of them. If you want to clean your glass surfaces without resorting to super wasteful paper towels, you can use a microfiber cloth. But if you don't want to spend money on the fancy microfiber cloth, just know that you can use rags that you've made and repurposed from old stuff in your home. They work just fine. I promise your windows will still sparkle. That's what I do. Will they be completely streak-free? Maybe not. But are we perfectionists? I'm not. I'll be honest, I'm not. Now, a related myth here, again, not one of our five, but a related myth here is that you should be cleaning your windows on sunny days so you can see the streaks and see the mess. That is not true. Hence, it's a myth. you should be waiting for an overcast day to clean your windows. So avoid cleaning on a sunny day. Sunny day means you're actually not seeing the streaks and dirt that are there. Wait for that overcast day. All right, cleaning myth number two. We're going slower than I thought, so I'm going to pick it up. Cleaning myth number two. If you are an OG listener to this show, you already know this one, but the myth is air fresheners are the best way to eliminate odors. Not true. Air fresheners are not the best way to eliminate odors, and that's because air fresheners only mask odors. They don't remove them. If you want to remove odors, you should be looking for activated charcoal or baking soda, which will absorb odors, not just cover them up, right? And let's be honest, as sustainable minimalists, we look to a product, in this case, an air freshener, last. Buying something to fix a problem is our last resort. So if you have odors in your home, often the best way to get rid of them is to let in the fresh air. So open your windows. That is the free way to eliminate odors in your home. If it's cooking odors, make sure you're using that exhaust fan every single time you cook. If you really need to buy something, instead of going the air freshener route, go for an air purifier. That will improve airflow in your home and reduce smells. Semi-related, is there are people in my life who never open their windows because they're afraid of dirt, dust, maybe even pollen coming in from outside. I certainly understand that if you have bad allergies. But let's not forget how freaking amazing nature is, right? Fresh air is. And so let's not be afraid to let it into our homes. Now, if you are a person, you simply must have a scent. You love it when your home smells good. Instead of an air freshener, which comes with a whole host of potential human health problems, I'll link to related episodes on that topic in the show notes. But if you must have a scent, consider using an essential oil. Perhaps you mix 1 tablespoon of baking soda with 5 or 6 drops of essential oil in a small dish. You could also add some water to that, put it in a spray bottle, and you can spritz it around your home. Really smart, healthier way to make your home smell good without buying air fresheners. All right, myth number three, more cleaning products results in more cleanliness. That's not true. However, it is understandable to think that using a lot of cleaning products will get things more clean, especially in this world where more is generally better, right? Especially if you're on TikTok and you see someone using 1/2 bottle of bleach to clean their tub. No. We don't do that, right? As sustainable minimalists. Because when it comes to cleaning agents, less really is more. Using too much cleaning product can not only leave residue and buildup on your surfaces, which can in turn, by the way, attract more dirt, more stuff sticking to your surfaces. So it's doing the opposite of what you want. But also, even worse, in my opinion, is that depending on what cleanser you're using, more of these powerful chemicals than the job needs leaves your health susceptible, puts your health at risk. Don't forget, if these cleansers are powerful enough to massacre germs, they are also powerful enough to harm you, both in the short term and the long term. I've also linked 2 episodes on this topic in the show notes if you're interested. But when you're using a cleaning agent, whatever it is, whether it's one that says eco-conscious on the bottle, whether it's ammonia, whether it's bleach, whatever you're cleaning, I want you to actually look at the instructions. I want you to actually read the instruction label and measure. We're not going to just go spritzing and spraying our hearts out. No. We are intentional in our consumption and our usage. So actually read the instructions. I also want you, if the weather allows, to open your windows as you're cleaning. Maybe you've noticed a lot of cleansers have these strong smells. I want you to associate strong smells with potential health hazards. So open your windows and ventilate your home. And now finally, when you're cleaning, so we're using less product, we're opening our windows. And finally, this is a big one. Be sure to avoid mixing your cleaning products when you're cleaning. This can be very dangerous because the ammonia that you're using to clean something may mix with the Clorox whatever that you're using and cause reactions that we don't know about. So do not mix your cleansers. Full stop. Don't ever mix your cleansers. If you're cleaning with product A, clean with product A. Don't add in products B and C. All right, next myth. I think this is our fourth one. Yes. Okay, reminder time. The myth is vinegar can clean everything. That is not quite true. Vinegar is indeed a great cleaning agent. It's cheap. Most of us have it on hand already. It's much healthier from a human health perspective than some of the harsher, more powerful cleansers. Distilled white vinegar, man, it is an all-natural cleaning agent and it is lovely, but it is not for all purposes. There are a number of household materials, finishes, surfaces that should never be cleaned with vinegar. Do not use vinegar on natural stone. So I'm talking granite, marble, limestone. For many of us, that's our kitchen countertops. Don't use vinegar there. Do not also use vinegar on hardwood floors. Vinegar can destroy your wood floors. So do not use vinegar there. And finally, when it comes to vinegar, do not use vinegar on grout, stainless steel, cast iron, and rubber parts. So I'm talking gaskets. Okay, so vinegar's great, but not everywhere. And finally, my fifth and final myth for you, mopping is the best way to clean floors. Well, perhaps you hate mopping like I do. I hate mopping. Ugh, it makes the whole floor wet. Then you can't walk. I always like get myself stuck in a corner. It's labor intensive. No, thank you. Mopping is the worst. Well, the cleaning experts say that instead of mopping all the darn time, we can do regular maintenance and use mopping only as a deep clean. So sweep every single day. Clear away the dirt, especially in the high traffic areas, the doorway, like my front door area. Also, my kitchen gets a lot of crumbs. So I'm sweeping those, if not every day, definitely every other day. Then if somebody spills something or a liquid gets on the floor, instead of mopping the whole floor, just do a spot clean. Use a floor cleaner spray. Spot treat those spills and those messes in between mopping. And then when you're doing the deep cleaning, so again, the experts say every 1 to 3 months, depending on the cleanliness of the people who live in your home, every 1 to 3 months, that's the time to bring out the mop and do the full mop. Okay, so good news. You don't have to mop every week. No, you don't. We're going to move on to part two, which is those specific places. I have two very specific places I want you to focus on, but we're going to do that after a quick sponsor break. And we're back. We are moving on to those two very specific places I want you to clean. You might have forgotten about. I want you to spring clean them this spring. And the first place I'm going to be a little tricky. It's not just two places. It's multiple places. But the generalized area is I want you to spring clean your appliances. I know you're probably thinking to yourself, what does that even mean? I don't want to do that. Well, your appliances, I'm talking your oven, your dishwasher, your washing machine, your dryer, your vacuum, the appliances, right? They need to be cleaned. They need regular maintenance. And experts recommend you clean these items every 3 months. Now, why? Why do I suggest this? Out of all the places in your home to clean this spring, why the appliances? Why should you zero in on them? The reason is that appliances are expensive, right? They're also these days made to break. Hello, planned obsolescence. I don't want you buying a fridge every 5 years just because they're made to break every 5 years. I want you to be a conscious and informed consumer who not only buys the best fridge with the best warranty and the longest life on the market, I also want you to be a consumer who takes care of your fridge so that you can get an extra year or two out of it. And that's why we are maintaining our appliances this spring. Now, some of these appliances have a self-cleaning button, but when it comes to major household appliances, the experts say you don't use the self-cleaning button. So let's go there first. Let's talk about the oven. Self-cleaning the oven could be a no-no. According to New York Times, The Wire Cutter, I love The Wire Cutter, by the way, Wirecutter suggests that if you need your oven in the next 6 weeks, so that's all of us, right? If you need the oven in the next 6 weeks, Wirecutter strongly suggests cleaning your oven manually and not using the self-clean function. Why? Well, the self-cleaning function on many of our ovens, first of all, if your oven's out of warranty, self-cleaning can break your oven, and then you need to buy a new oven. If self-cleaning doesn't break your oven altogether, the high heat associated with self-cleaning can and very likely will severely damage your oven, the interior. I'm talking hairline cracks here. So self-cleaning sounds great, but it's not great if it's either damaging your oven or breaking it altogether. So clean your oven manually. You can take the oven racks out, put them in the bathtub. The bathtub should be lined with old towels and clean them, soak them and clean them that way. And just get some good old-fashioned elbow grease and clean out the oven. Now, when it comes to your washing machine, anything that's not removed from your washing machine over time, like dirt and grime, but also like laundry detergent, all that is going to build up over time and create the perfect breeding ground for mold and mildew and odors. Gross, right? So we got to keep our washing machine clean as well. And I'll be honest, if you're like me, I used to think that, like, I mean, this is a cleaning appliance. Like, doesn't running it clean it out? No, because if we skip actually cleaning the washing machine, that's when we risk the growth of bacteria and mold and odors and nothing that we want to be cleaning our clothes in. I have linked to an article in the show notes with regard to what to do to deep clean your washing machine. Basically, I'm not going to go into it today because different washing machines have different cycles. Some newer machines have a washer cleaning cycle. Others don't. So if you don't, you need to follow some specific rules. Again, there's a link in the show notes with how to do that. But what about the dryer? When we're spring cleaning, we're going beyond just cleaning out the lint trap because about 15,000 fires start in laundry rooms every single year. And that's, of course, because of the dryer. So going beyond removing the lint from the lint trap, I want you to get out that hard-to-reach lint using your vacuum, using that crevice tool on your vacuum to be more specific. I want you to vacuum under, around, behind the dryer. Unplug the dryer and use your vacuum's hose to clean as far into the dryer vent as possible. Really important here, not just for a spring cleaning, but also for your family's safety. Your dishwasher, you need to clean out that trap, that food trap at the bottom of your dishwasher periodically so that your dishes are actually getting clean. This is kind of embarrassing to mention, but I noticed that my dishwasher wasn't getting our dishes clean anymore. And that's really annoying because then I would have to wash them twice. Well, wouldn't you know, that trap at the bottom of the dishwasher was filled with food and gunk. It was so disgusting. And lo and behold, once I finally cleaned that out, which was a disgusting job, let's be honest, but once it was clean, the dishwasher started washing optimally again. Wouldn't you know? Shocker. And then finally, the vacuum too. Perhaps this spring is the time that you change its filter, right? That HEPA filter, which is so darn important. Perhaps you change it. Perhaps you clean your brushes. Perhaps you replace the bag. Let's take care of our stuff so we don't have to buy more unnecessarily. So that's one area I want you to pay attention to, which, of course, is all those appliances. Second area I want you to pay attention to as you spring clean this year is, your beds. Let's be honest. Spring cleaning, deep cleaning our beds and bedding can be an awful lot of work. Duvet covers, comforters, shams, pillows, throw pillows, mattress protector. Like, that's just what's coming to my mind off the top of my head. And that's an awful lot. I'm sure I'm missing some. So let's talk about the why. Why would you even bother deep cleaning the beds in your home? Well, I mean, if you used your imagination, you already know. Over time, sweat, oils from your skin, moisture, all of that seeps into your sheets, your blankets, your bedding. And that means that we need to periodically freshen up our bedding every once in a while. I mean, if we're spending 8 hours a day in our beds, that's a third of our lives. That just gets gross, right? Gets gross. And yes, depending on how much bedding you have, the entire cleaning process can take hours, if not days, including drying time. That's one of the reasons why excessive bedding, like all those fancy throw pillows, they look great in catalogs, but are they great in real life? That's something for each of us to determine on our own for ourselves. But I want to say here at the upfront, when it comes to cleaning your bedding, you might have a washer and dryer that are not equipped for the job. If you have smaller models, you might not be able to fit your larger bedding into them. So you might need to consider going to a laundromat here. Those laundromats have those gigantic commercial grade machines. Maybe we go to the laundromat when it comes to spring cleaning our beds. Just a thought there. But again, with the beds, start from the bottom up. Let's start with your mattress. Most mattress has a mattress cover. Protector, which you take off easy, throw it in the washing machine. But does your mattress have an encasement? That's like a bag around your mattress. If you have one, you need to take it off your mattress and wash it. And this is a horrible, miserable job because the mattress is heavy and you have to lift up the mattress to take it off, to slide it off. And then you have to lift up the mattress again to put it back on. It's horrible. So if you have one, just do it. Right? Don't forget about those grease and oils and sweats that are leaking into the mattress. Disgusting. So take it off and wash it. If you don't have a mattress encasement, then you need to vacuum your mattress. So get on one of those perfect vacuuming tools, like the really angled one that's thin, and get in every crevice of your mattress and clean it out. Vacuum it up. Also, don't forget to flip and rotate your mattress so that your mattress ages evenly. We are not in the business here at Sustainable Minimalists of buying mattresses when we don't need to. We take care of our stuff. Now let's talk about comforters and duvets and all that. Here's some good news. So I just worked you really hard taking off that mattress encasement. The good news is that if you use a duvet cover and you have a comforter in the basically, it's a bag, right? A duvet cover is a bag. Know that your comforter should only be deep cleaned every 3 to 5 years. So I used to bring my, not just mine, my kids as well, all of the down comforters to the dry cleaners every year, which got expensive. But then I thought to myself, well, is the dry cleaning chemicals doing more harm than good? Let's not forget. Dry cleaning chemicals can be really darn hazardous to human health. And so then I looked it up. Comforters do not have to be cleaned every spring, every 3 to 5 years. So if it's time for you to drop those off at the dry cleaners, go ahead. Otherwise, just clean the duvet cover. Take it off, which is, again, a hassle. It means untying the corners, taking it off, washing it, drying it, putting it back on. Maybe you even have it in a fabric that needs an iron. Holy moly, lots of work, but you got to do it. Now, of course, you're hopefully changing your sheets every week. Even, I'll be honest, a long time ago, I saw an Oprah episode when I was a teenager in high school, and the guest on the Oprah show said we should actually be changing our sheets every 4 days. I thought to myself, oh God, no, I'm never going to do that. And I don't do every 4 days. I do every week. Hopefully you're doing that. But with regard to pillows, instead of buying pillows every 6 months to a year, as I've seen recommended on the World Wide Web, know that most pillows, most down pillows, most fiber-filled pillows are washing machine friendly. So you can pop them in the washing machine for a refresh. You don't need to buy new. But caveat here, not all pillows can be washed. So you need to check the label on your pillows. Now, if you are washing your pillows, you should put two in at the same time to balance out the machine. Nobody needs a sopping wet pillow after the cycle runs. But use a gentle cycle. Use warm water. Use cold water for the rinse. And then tumble dry on low heat for a fluff. Easy. So when it comes to the beds in your home this spring, I know it's a lot, but When you do it, email me and tell me how great you feel. All the washable stuff should come off and be washed, with the exception of your comforter, every 3 to 5 years. You will feel so much better once that's done. I mean, and now I'm thinking about, it's a big job, right? Maybe you just have one bed in your home. That's a lot of work, one bed. But if you have multiple beds being slept in, maybe you have children, that's a lot of beds. So put your effort there this spring. Now, I did promise some extra credit, the extra credit. Okay. Your window treatments, they get dusty, don't they? Well, if it's fabric, if you have curtains, let's say, take them down, wash them in the gentle cycle, toss them on low heat in your dryer, and then here's the key, immediately hang them back up to avoid the wrinkles. You don't want to iron those curtains, do you? No. So hang them right back immediately. If you have plastic blinds, close them, vacuum them on both sides. That's the window treatments. Now let's move on to the doormats. Here, pro tip, vacuum both sides of your doormat somehow, some way. And you could do this with all rugs, by the way, but we're just focusing on the doormats. Somehow, some way, the dirt, dust, you know, sand, whatever, it gets under the mat. So make sure you're vacuuming both sides of the doormat. Do you have children? If you have children, know that lots of toys can be just thrown in the dishwasher. Maybe you do a whole dishwasher load of toys. If you don't have a dishwasher, or you're concerned about plastic in the dishwasher, especially soft plastic, I'd be concerned of that as well. Just wash them in a big bucket of soap. Maybe you throw them all in the tub with some soapy water. Know that stuffed animals can be, most stuffed animals, again, check the care label, but stuffed animals can be washed in cool water. Put them in a mesh bag and get washing, especially like the favorite stuffies that your kids are sleeping with every night. Give them a quick wash. And then you could even, once they're dry, give them a lint roll as well to freshen them up. Now, finally, for extra credit, the place, if I have extra time this spring cleaning, the place where I will be spending some effort is with regard to scrubbing down my kitchen cabinets, both sides. So the exterior, which definitely gets gross, but the interior too. I was looking at some of my cabinets the other day. How are there drips and stains on the inside of my cabinets? I don't know, but it has happened. So yeah, the unsightly kitchen grime gets on the front, and then the dust and the dirt sticks to the grime. It builds up over time and it is nasty pants. So I will be making a mixture of water and dish soap, and I will be scrubbing through. Dish soap is great to cut through kitchen grime, by the way. I'm talking like Dawn or some similar brand, really great for cutting through kitchen grime. So wipe both sides of your cabinet door, pay special attention to those high impact area, the knobs and the pulls, and go on with your spring. Get a little pep in your step because you just spring cleaned your house. So good work to you. All right. That is our episode today. Show notes. There's a lot of resources in this week's show notes. So you can find them at mamaminimalist.com/521. For my subscribers, we will be back next week. And next week's episode, again, for subscribers, we are discussing all of the ways in which all of the stuff marketed to parents to make parenting easier, how all this stuff is really just complicating parenting. So we're buying all this stuff to make parenting easier, but it's really just making our lives harder. That is with a parenting expert, a doctor. So I'm really excited to air that episode. That's next week. If you're not a subscriber, you can become one. Links in the show notes. If you don't want to become a subscriber, but you want to support the show, there's a tip jar in the show notes as well. If you're a proud free subscriber, please know I still like you. I still appreciate you. And I'll see you next month. To my subscribers, I'll see you next week. Reach out if you need me. Happy spring cleaning and take care.